Today I want to teach on managing your golden years, and it's a fun topic. But before we do that, I know you need to say something to me, okay? Are you ready?
Yep.
I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Now you can learn about the golden years, okay? Yeah, there's nothing like saying a few things that are true. One of the greatest fears that man has is the fear of dying. I think it's probably the greatest one, to be afraid to die. In fact, the Bible says that people are in bondage their entire life because of that, the ones that are so afraid of that. And that makes me think, well, if death is the last thing with the greatest fear, then if you move this way just a step and think about old age and being cared for in old age, that's probably a pretty big fear too. People being afraid that they're not going to make it in old age, not going to be cared for in old age. Hence the golden years and the importance of understanding what God says about that time of life and how He will take care of you. So the goal of this teaching is to help you change your perspective or really establish your perspective on what old age is going to be like or how you should think about old age. So turn to Titus chapter 2. Managing your golden years. It's all about perspective. Some people have bodies that require more care than others. Some people are simply more needy than others. Some people aren't needy at all. Some people are dependent. Some people are independent. I'm telling you, the spectrum's long and wide. And that's okay. Some people have health problems. Some people don't. That's okay too. That's just the way life is. And you can't control all of that stuff. But you can deal with it positively in any case, according to God's word. And that's why I say it's all about perspective. I firmly believe that every man has the ability to manage his or her own lot in life. Whatever comes your way, that's your lot in life. You can deal with it. Now, if your stuff comes my way, I don't know if I could deal with it, but I can deal with my stuff. And so I really believe that, and I've taught that to you guys from the Word, that each one of you have your own lot in life, things that come your way, and you can manage those things just fine. Well, that makes perspective all the more important. In other words, how you view your ability to deal with your life. If you think you can't deal with things, well, first of all, you're lying to yourself. Second of all, you're probably not going to deal with those things very well. But if you think that you can deal with the things that come your way, and you're bound and determined to be a super Christian conqueror, as the Bible says in Romans, you'll be fine. So it's all about perspective. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. You don't have to, do you? You could speak things that don't become sound doctrine. That's your choice. Well, the recommendation is speak the things which are sound doctrine. And number 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Do the aged men and the aged women have to do these things? I guess not. I mean, it's free will. That's what grace is. You don't have to do anything after you get born again. You could go be a murderer, I guess. And some people do. There are Christians in prison. I guarantee you. They went the wrong way. You have the right to choose your life. If you choose the wrong way, you're going to pay the price. But you never lose your Christianity. That's called incorruptible seed. You'd think you would. You'd think after looking at some people that have done some things that they would, but God's love is different than that. He will never remove that seed. They don't end up with what you're going to end up with in eternity, but they don't lose the seed. Just like you can't take your father's seed out of you. Once you're you, you're you. That can never be undone. Well, you have the right to choose when you're old. If you're going to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, holy, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. It's your choice. Well, it's on the table. What are you going to do? You have to decide. You can't speak if there's nothing in your mind to say. What do you say about old age and personal productivity and vitality of life? You know, what are your views on it? Think about that. How do you feel about your older age or the old age that might be coming? Some cast it far away, and some hold it near and dear. God wants your life to be full and super abundant, no matter how old you are. But the question is, what do you want? See, we're in a society that's always expecting handouts. And that's pretty lousy, because that means that people are being bred to not take care of themselves and to think that they can't take care of themselves. Well, that's going to matter one day, because when all of a sudden you're too weak to care for yourself and you've made the wrong decisions that have taken you to wherever you are in life, your problems in old age are going to be miserable. And you see people around you that are like that. Well, we don't want to be like that. So we have a lot of opportunity in front of us, a lot of hope, and a lot of reason to make sure that our perspectives are based on God's word. Turn to Psalm 92. God so wants our lives to be super abundant. Not just now. You know, Christianity is not a youth thing. Christianity is not a middle-aged thing. And Christianity is not an old man or old woman thing. It is a family thing for all of mankind. And so it applies to everybody. Psalm 92, starting with verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. I know some of you don't want to be fat. But you got to understand that that's a good thing here. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You want to bring fruit, forth fruit in your old age? Well, you got to start thinking like that now. For heaven's sake, don't think that you're going to be stuck in a rocking chair in some little room, you know, when you turn 80 or 90 years old. You ought to be productive. You ought to think like that now and plan on it. Ideally, we must transition into this unique transformation, a word-centered transformation. There is something that must take place in the mind, and it's something that we must work at diligently, daily, throughout our whole lives. Don't expect to get old and then try to figure this stuff out. Start working on it today. Isaiah 46. I'm real big about looking down the road. I really believe that it is one of the most dynamic principles you could ever apply if you really want to make sure you're directing your life properly. Look down the road. Consider the ramifications of your daily choices. How will they affect me in 5, 10, 15, 20 years? I do this thing. I was telling Josh this the other day. I do this thing where I'll go out 5 years and look back. let's say I want to be a doctor, and I'll go out 5 years, and I'm a doctor in 5 years, okay? And then I look back at me today, and I ask myself, what did I have to do to get there? What did I go through to get there? What did I have to deny? What did I have to accept in my life to get where I am now, 5 years from now? It's a really cool thing to do. Isaiah 46, verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age I am he. You should be in Isaiah 46, now verse 4. And even to your old age I am he. Even to hoar hairs, that's gray hair, will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Now, this is to these guys in the Old Testament. You're not Old Testament, okay? You're Christian. And that's a big deal. That's even a bigger deal than Old Testament. It's amazing who we are in Christ, what God has made us, that we're part of his family, that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sons of God with all power. We're seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of the throne of God, just like Jesus Christ is. That's how God sees us. And that's amazing. So do you think that this applies to you too? And even maybe a little bit more? Sure. Even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hairs will I carry you. God's going to always take care of you. No fear. Turn to Proverbs 16. My question to you is, what do you believe about God's promised care for you? Do you believe that he will care for you? Or do you worry about it? Proverbs 16, verse 31. The hoary head. Now, does anybody know what hoary head means here? Gray hair. I already told you. The gray hair is a crown of glory. The word glory here means beauty. If it be found in the way of righteousness. Are Christians righteous? You better believe it. When you're born again, that's one of your sonship rights. You are righteous now. Well, when you're old one day, you're going to be beautiful. That's what it says. Psalm 37. If you don't know these verses that I'm getting ready to read, you're going to probably want to mark these as favorites. Really cool stuff. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You ever seen that where you've got the footprints in the sand? Did you ever see that picture? You know, and God's always walking with you. He's going to let you fall, though, because you have the right to life. He will never control you, ever. He will never control one thing about anything in your life. He can't, because he's a free will God. But he'll always be there and he'll help you get back up. That's what it says. Then verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And you never will. Isn't that amazing? Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Anytime you ever feel poor, or that you need a little bit more, say that verse and believe in it. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Do you have the seed of God in Christ in you? Well, absolutely. Are you blessed? Well, this applies. Depart from evil, and could you be doing evil? Sure. Do you have the choice? Do you have the free will? Absolutely. You can go one way or the other, any time of day, any time of night, with any decision. It's your free will. And nobody can control it but you. And nobody's responsible for it but you. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. God will always be there to help and assist in any endeavor according to his word. His promises will always hold true, but the question is, do you truly hold His promises? You know that Noah was 500 years old and had kids? Turn to Genesis chapter 5. We have some people that have some interesting legacies in their old age. Now, if you're of the mindset that when you get old, you're just supposed to sit in the old rocking chair, you're going to have a tough time with this. I guarantee you. What makes a person turn into something like that? It's choice. And everybody has the right to choose. You can always choose the rocking chair. Always. And if you really want the rocking chair, choose it. But if you have something burning inside you that says, I don't think I want that rocking chair, you're going to like what I'm going to read. Genesis 5:32, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Wow. That's amazing. That's just amazing. Now, I know that there was a time back then when people lived a long time, Methuselah and all that, and then that stopped. I get that part. No problem there. Genesis 16. But there are people that had normal lifespans as well. In Genesis chapter 16, we read about Abram. And you know Abraham and Sarah and their story. But I think it'd be nice just to read it quickly. Genesis 16, verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old. That's 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, surely a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Genesis chapter 18 and verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with them after the manner of women. Well, I'll show you something in the New Testament in a minute. They did have a kid. Amazing. Just amazing. Isaac, turn to Genesis chapter 25. Isaac had twins when he was 60 years old. If Steffi's on the call, this will give her hope. She wants twins. Michelle wants, well, you want quintuplets, right? Okay. Genesis 25, verse 25. Genesis 25. We're reading about Isaac. And the first came out red, all over, like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, when she bare them. Wow. I don't really want to have a kid when I'm 60. And that's only like 6 or so years from now. Okay. And, okay, Moses. Turn to Exodus chapter 7. Do you know that Moses was 80 years old when he had to start dealing with Pharaoh? Remember? Aaron was 83. Aaron was Moses' mouthpiece. Exodus 7:7, and Moses was 80 years old. And Aaron 83 years old. When they spake unto Pharaoh. Can you imagine being 80 years old and leading a nation and dealing with a ruler of some country? What do you want to do when you're 80 years old? I don't know. You want to just be sitting in a rocking chair? Laying in a bed? I don't know. It's your choice. But this might help frame that a little bit. Turn to Deuteronomy 34. I really like this. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Wow. Do you know what that means? He was in perfect health. And then he just died. That's amazing. Why did he die? Because every man's appointed to die. That's just the way it is because of the original sin. The only way you're not going to die is if Jesus Christ comes back to gather the saints together in your lifetime. Caleb was 85. Turn to Joshua 14. Another fantastic account of vitality. Vitality in a rather unusual circumstance. Joshua 14 and verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me, and that's Caleb, alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, that's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. An 85-year-old soldier doing battle with full strength. Oh my gosh. Wow. Does that help change your perspective? That makes me think. And I hope it does you. Well, you know, Joshua had some fantastic advice before he died at 110 years old. In Joshua 23 and in verse 10, we read, I love this, one man of you shall chase 1,000. Boy, when you're dealing with people and you think, man, that one person might be able to overpower me, think of this. One of you could chase 1,000. That's pretty powerful. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. God fights your battles, but you must allow him to do that. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. You see, there's a relationship there. What are you doing to ensure that relationship's intact? And you're going to have a great time in life chasing 1,000 if you keep this intact. What about Naomi in her old age? She thought she was too old to have a husband. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. And maybe she was. In Ruth chapter 1, and verse 12, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, and if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. She really believed she couldn't do it. But we know how this turned out, because Ruth was involved. And Jesus Christ came out of the bloodline that Ruth continued. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said also, said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and she said she was too old to have a husband, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. Wow. An old woman giving suck to a baby? Isn't that amazing? And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they shall call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That's just amazing. And she did this in her old age. Helped take care of that baby. Just fantastic. Proverbs 17. The Bible has some words of wisdom about old age. Proverbs chapter 17. And verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Isn't that something? The crown of old men. So, Michelle, you need to start having babies so that your babies can start having babies. Okay? This isn't all about you having babies. It's about your babies having babies. Okay, Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isn't that something? When he's old, it says. Some of us think that means when they're teenagers. No, when he's old. It's interesting to see how a person comes back around if you do your job when they're little. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Really neat stuff. Turn to Isaiah 50. And this is for all ages. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint or a rock. Nobody's going to budge me. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What great advice. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. I know that life is tough. And I know that sometimes you just wonder, you know, how am I going to make it this year? It just seems so crazy out there. And there is a lot of craziness. But God's word is always there for you. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Don't be like those guys, okay? Just how do you think? Remember when we started out, I said it's all about perspective. How do you think? What do you think about your old age? How do you feel God's going to take care of you? What's your opinion? What do you really believe down deep inside? It's all about what you think. What is your belief about God's ability in your life this day at your particular age? If you don't do something to make it the best it can be, you could carry that same thing with you when you're old. And you have to ask yourself, do I want that? Or do I want it to be even better? Luke chapter 1. You're all familiar with John the Baptist. He's the one that first started preaching the kingdom of God. Of course, they rejected the kingdom. They rejected him. In fact, they even killed him. But somebody had to bear him. He was born. Luke 1:36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Really something. And I promise you this out of Romans chapter 4. Abraham and Sarah. That was such a big deal what happened with Abraham and Sarah that we even had to talk about it in the New Testament. Romans 4 and verse 19. And this teaches you about perspective and controlling your mind, your thoughts, your beliefs, directing your thoughts into the way of God's word. It's really not that hard. You just have to decide to do it and then do it. Romans 4 verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, this is talking about Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, you don't have to be religious to do this. You could just be a normal person with God in Christ in you, a Christian, okay? And you change the way you think. You think God's way. You know, you'll be confronted with this forever. As long as you live on this earth, you'll be confronted with God's word versus religion. And you'll have all kinds of piety and religiosity and stuff like that battling against you just trying to do the simplicity of the word. The word is so simple that even a child can do it and not err therein, it says. Well, God doesn't want us to be laden up or covered up with all kinds of fabrications that are trying to say, this is godly, this is, you know, the way things ought to be. He just wants us to do the word. And when you read that in there, he staggered not at the promise of God. That's an inside job. He decided he wasn't going to stagger. He laughed, it said, inside. Remember we read that? He thought it was pretty funny at first. So what? I would too. 100 years old, you're going to have a baby. It's going to work again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 6. So, maybe it's time to destroy the old man. And we just looked at a lot of Old Testament. Now we're taking it into the Christian realm, the New Testament realm. Maybe it's time to destroy the old man. Romans 8 verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Can you? Yeah, you can serve sin. Should you? No. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And that's a thought you want to take all the way through old age. Ephesians chapter 4. And so this is why I say it's all about controlling and directing your thoughts. You've heard people say that before. Old age is just a state of mind. And they're not quite sure where they get that. But from the Bible, you can see where we get that. Ephesians 4 verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. The word conversation means manner of life, the way you used to live. That ye put off concerning the former way of life, the old man. Put that old man away, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So managing your life has all to do with managing your thoughts. And this is not something that you wait years to begin. Don't wait till you're 80. It's going to be a little challenging then. You should start now so that when you're old, you're prepared and able to manage each and every situation. God wants to take care of you, but do you want him to take care of you? Some people don't. Some people think they can do everything on their own. But the mighty people are the ones that just turn the things over to God and say, hey, God, I need some help on this. I need some help on this. Let's do this together. Then your golden years perspective must be encased with his love and promises, if that's what you really, really want. You'll be surprised when you're 80 years old and look around at other 80-year-old people, how many don't have God in their lives. And you think after 80 years they would have figured it out. But they don't. It's sad. They struggle. They're miserable. They're truly, truly miserable. We don't want that. Your perspective must be actively tuned into God's will and greatness. Never stop redirecting your thoughts heavenward. You will always be rewarded, even in old age, if you do. Expect greatness in your golden years. Thank you.